Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, now that we are just a day or two away from Christmas, I thought it might be good if we would set aside our study in 1 John for a few days and look at one of the Christmas prophecies that foretold the virgin birth of Christ more than 700 years before the event. And I'm talking about Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is a familiar text to most of God's people, but not surprisingly, it is also a controversial text, because the doctrine of the virgin birth is miraculous, and therefore it's always going to create controversy, particularly for those who are skeptical about divine miracles. But the virgin birth is not only miraculous, but it's also essential. And therefore, when it is denied, it must be understood that if the deniers are correct, if in fact there is no virgin birth, then there is no salvation through Christ. And I hope to make that clear as we get into the text today. It's a challenging text and a puzzling text in some ways, and there's more than meets the eye at first glance, and therefore it deserves a careful and reverential examination, which is what we are going to try to give it over the next couple of days. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, December 24. Thanks to those who help us with the finances necessary to teach God's Word on this station, and may I appeal to you to consider a special year-end gift for the Beacon Broadcast. All right, now looking at this text in Isaiah 7:14, and we begin by examining the reason for the divinely appointed sign. The text says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." What is that all about? Well, it is in response to the impudent hypocrisy of King Ahaz of Judah. And let me see if I can give you a little bit of background. Ahaz was facing the threat of military defeat. You can read about that beginning in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. There was an alliance between Rezin of Syria and Pekah of Israel, and they together had designs to conquer Judah. And armies were deployed in Ephraim on the border of Judah, for the purpose of coming down and conquering the southern kingdom. And King Ahaz and the southern kingdom of Judah were shaken and fearful by these particular events. Let me read verses 1 and 2. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of the people were moved as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." That is, they were quaking with fear. But following that report of what is taking place, we have the promise of divine protection in verses 3 and following. Isaiah and his oldest son were sent by God to King Ahaz and delivered a message that this two-king alliance is not going to succeed. From a military standpoint, from a human standpoint, it looked like it would certainly succeed. It would be almost unthinkable that it could not succeed. It would seem like victory was nearly inevitable, considering the relative military strength of the two opponents in this impending war. But God said otherwise, and he said that Israel will ultimately be destroyed themselves, and this will take place sooner rather than later. Imagine that. Israel, you understand, these are in the days of the divided kingdom. The kingdom, the nation of Israel, that once constituted the territory of the 12 tribes of Israel, was divided into two sections following the death of Solomon. The southern kingdom, made up of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, was called Judah. The northern kingdom, made up of the other 10 tribes, was called Israel. Israel was bigger than Judah. Israel was more populous than Judah, but not as much as you might think. You say 10 tribes against 2 tribes, that seems like, well, what would that seem like? It would seem like a 5-to-1 advantage in population, territory, and military strength, but it wasn't that big a difference, because Judah was larger and stronger than you might otherwise think, and Israel was weaker and smaller than you might otherwise think, but still, it was larger than Judah, not 5 times larger. I can't tell you exactly how much larger, but it was larger than Judah, and it was in alliance with Syria, which was one of the strongest military countries, armies, empires of that particular day. And so that was a formidable adversary coming down against Judah and King Ahaz. No wonder he was frightened. And no wonder he was thankful to hear the message from the prophet that the two-king alliance will not succeed and that the kingdom of Israel in the north will ultimately be destroyed. And this will not take long before it happens. And then in verses 10 and 11, we have from the prophet an offer of divine certification. God speaks to Ahaz through Isaiah the prophet. And here's what he says, verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." God asks Ahaz to name a sign that God will then honor in order to certify that this prophecy, in fact, will come to pass, that Israel, in alliance with Syria, will not defeat Judah, as they intend to do. And God instructs Ahaz to request a sign from God. I could say Isaiah instructs Ahaz to request a sign from God, but God is speaking through Isaiah, to authenticate the divine promise and to strengthen his faith. And he basically says, you pick the sign. Any sign that Ahaz could conceive could have been requested at this time. Ask it from the Lord your God. How gracious is God to offer a sign in this way? But Ahaz refuses. And I think we have to see it as an arrogant refusal. Verse 12, "But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." Now that sounds like a spiritually minded response at first glance, but it is actually a refusal cloaked in outward piety. Oh, I will not test the Lord God. Well, it would be sinful to test the Lord God if you had not been requested, had not been offered by God himself to propose a test. That's not testing God sinfully. If God says, this is what I want you to do. You see, Ahaz was leaning upon Scripture, Exodus 17:7 and Deuteronomy 6:16, but please note that not all who quote Scripture are using it properly, and not all who use Scripture have righteous motives in doing so. And so he refuses. His words are almost dripping with piety. Oh, I could never do that. Ahaz said, verse 12, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Far be it from me to do such a thing. But his refusal was actually disobedience. It wasn't pious. It wasn't godly at all. It was designed to mask unbelief and rebellion. Ahaz has his own plan for deliverance. He plans to make an alliance with Assyria, not to be confused with Syria. Syria, the capital, was in Damascus. Assyria was a larger kingdom, actually an empire, that eventually overcame Syria. And Ahaz plans to make alliance with Assyria, and he is making plans for his own victory, his own protection, and he is not interested in hearing the word of the Lord. And that brings, therefore, in verse 13, a declaration of divine displeasure. Then he said, Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Those are the words that Isaiah the prophet spoke to him. He addresses the words to the house of David, which, of course, Ahaz was the king on the throne in David's line. He was of the house of David. And he is simply representing a pattern of ignoring God's messengers, which had taken place with a number of the kings on David's throne previous to Ahaz. And that pattern of ignoring God's messengers is now exposed as rebellion against God. It is a dangerous thing, dear friends, to disrespect and ignore the messengers of God. It's a good thing to reject false prophets, false teachers, false messengers. But the sad thing is that many people who profess to be the people of God will readily accept the false while all the while rejecting the true, which of course simply is a manifestation of the true condition of their heart. They don't want to hear from a true messenger of God because they don't want the truth. They're happy to hear from a counterfeit messenger because they know that one will tell them what they want to hear. And that's exactly what's going on here. And that sets the stage for a divinely appointed sign. Ahaz will not request a sign, and so then we read, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The opening words to introduce the prophecy in Isaiah 14, and Lord willing, we'll talk about it some more on the broadcast tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.